2014 is not the year of the mortgage. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Now, there's word today that mortgage lending this winter fell 58% from a year ago to the lowest level in 14 years. What about the theory I keep hearing from experts that while rates are going up, they're still really low, so don't worry about it? On Fridays, we consult Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hey, Chris.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good. Rates a year ago, I think they were like 3.6% for a 30-year. Now they're maybe 4.5%, 4.6%. That's enough to put people off a new house.
When someone buys a house, they're focused on monthly costs. If you're financing with a 30-year mortgage for the first few years, you're pretty much only paying interest, which means that that monthly bill increased by 30% when the rate went from 3.5% to 4.7%. It's actually a very significant rise. And remember, too, prices rose last year, and now there is sticker shock.
Add to that, who would refinance at this point, right? Because interest rates are going up.
Well, that's right. We actually saw one of the biggest refinancing waves of the last 20 years last summer. Now, refinancing has collapsed. And the big five mortgage companies, they've laid off 30,000 workers since last May. So today we find out just how significant the drop in mortgage activity was. But, you know, honestly, we've known for months that activity was down significantly.
Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
A new report from the National Bureau of Economic Research suggests it may be time for doctors to visit a dentist to get drilled on how to see more patients who are insured, make money, and to keep their current patients happy. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein reports.
Have dentists found gold? Not in the mouths of their patients, but in, of all things, Medicaid, a program infamous for its low reimbursement rates.
It turned out we see that as they provided more care to Medicaid patients, average income went up.
Study author Tom Buckmuller at University of Michigan found in states that expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, dentists saw on average about a 7% rise in income. He says some dentists also avoided increased patient wait times.
And a big part of the story of how they did this was by using mid-level providers.
In other words, dentists relied more on their hygienists. Incidental Economist contributor Adriana McIntyre says the report shows the value of relaxing so-called scope of practice laws and giving health professionals, like hygienists and nurse practitioners, more responsibility.
And I think that we're eventually going to see changes to scope of practice laws. What I don't know is how long that's going to take.
McIntyre says while some medical societies resist the change, she says with new patients coming on under the ACA, there's a way to float all boats. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Many younger workers than older ones want to jump ship from their traditional jobs and become self-employed. About two-thirds of millennials want to go off and start their own business, compared to fewer than half of workers, 35 and over. The data is from the Harris Poll and Creative Live, an online education company. So that's what younger workers are telling pollsters. So why are there not more younger entrepreneurs? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has our story.
This week, the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship brought a bevy of bright young entrepreneurs to Washington. They started businesses in high school. Here's a few pitches.
Most people don't have the budget of a McDonald's or a Folgers. That's why I created Superb Tune, a jingle production company that tends to the young entrepreneur and growing businesses.
My business is JJ New World. It's a software developer company. We have created a game called Better Than History. Allows players to step into the shoes of historical figures so they can answer the timeless question, what if we could change the past?
Pretty cool. That was Annie Nerschel, Stamford, Connecticut, and Juan Ramos of Dallas. Interest in studying entrepreneurship is growing, says Dane Stangler at the Kauffman Foundation. But young people aren't as likely to actually launch startups as older people, and their rate of entrepreneurship has fallen recently.
No matter how badly you want to be an entrepreneur, no matter how low the cost of starting certain kinds of companies, if you come out of school with $60,000 in debt, and entrepreneurship may not be as attractive an option.
I visited the University of Portland. It has a strong entrepreneurship program and gathered a bunch of seniors to find out what they think.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
None of us want to be living in a cardboard box after we graduate just to be able to pursue whatever we would like to pursue.
Poli-Sci major Eileen Kannengeiser isn't sure she wants to risk entrepreneurship. But history major Danielle Knott is jumping in.
I have a receptionist job, but I'm also starting a feminist food magazine, and I definitely identify more as an entrepreneur.
Marketing major Alex Gatewood.
Being an entrepreneur has kind of become our generation's professional athlete or musician. You know exactly who Mark Zuckerberg is, but what it takes to actually be that person when it comes to paying the bills, those things just fall on the wayside.
This may be the generation that knows the most about entrepreneurs, but doesn't have the wherewithal to actually join their ranks. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
In search of entrepreneurs among us, Mitchell coerced the Marketplace staff to reveal their early jobs. The results are at marketplace.org. I had a little business as a DJ back in junior high. It failed when a dinky 10-watt amp proved insufficient to fill a crowded gymnasium with sound. Live and learn. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.